And possible immortality.
Pretty cool, huh?
Tune in at 10 a.m. to hear and talk with immortalist Robert Ettinger, the father of cryonics. So what about rent control in mobile home parks? Is this good or bad for the community? Tune in at 11 a.m. to hear and participate in a probable explosive discussion with passionate rent control foe George Drysdale, who rubbed a lot of people the wrong way this week during Good Morning Monterey Bay. Two great topics headed your way on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Forever Keeping You Revived Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
Call it the Saturday special, and it's a really special special today because we've never talked about this topic before, and we're all excited to welcome Robert Ettinger as our special guest on the Saturday special. Robert, how do you do?
I'm breathing in and breathing out.
Where are you breathing in and breathing out? Where are you physically located?
I'm in Clinton Township, Michigan, which is the same CR facility the Cryonics Institute is located. That's a little bit northeast of Detroit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so tell, now let's see, you've been doing this for quite a long time, and I guess we have a phone line that's crackly. Is that are you used to that, or is that just the connection that we have right now?
Yeah, the connection doesn't seem to be too good. I'm not sure why. I hear some crackling.
Huh. Well, let's give it a little bit more. If we hear much more of this and it bothers us too much, we're going to try to reestablish the line here and reestablish the connection. But let me back up and sort of let our listeners know how this program came to be. There is a man named Robert Anton Wilson who is a noted author, humorous, philosopher, who up until about a month ago lived in this area of Central California. He lived in Capitola. I never had the pleasure to meet the gentleman, but he was quite a character and quite highly regarded and respected throughout the world, actually. I attended a memorial service for him. At the Coconut Grove here at the Beach Boardwalk last week. It was a big party. It was an amazing bash here to a celebration of his life. And the reason I had done that is because Robert, whom, again, I never met but knew of, had been interviewed on this station a number of times over the last 15, 16 years. And, pardon me, during 1995, during the Oklahoma City bombing, incident that was a precursor to 9/11, you know, a few years later. This station was under attack by people who thought that we behaved irresponsibly by broadcasting interviews with a citizens militia group or two. And we were written about in letters to the editor and how could we be so irresponsible? And my response is, hey, this is America. There's freedom of speech here. And this station encourages discussion from all points of view. But Robert Anton Wilson wrote a letter to the editor defending us in such an eloquent way. I know I've got it somewhere and I want to dig it out and read it, but I've always loved the guy since then, and when I was so sad to read of his passing, but happy to be able to attend his celebration of his life, which again happened last Sunday. But in doing some research about Robert Anton Wilson, I learned that among many things that happened in his very rich and colorful life, there was a terrible tragedy with the tragic murdering of his 15-year-old daughter. I don't know when that happened. I think it was about a decade ago or something like that. And He and his wife chose to have her cryogenically preserved, and that led me to your website. And so I'm just fascinated. It's a subject that we've always wanted. Well, always wanted to. I mean, I've always wondered about personally. And when I had the opportunity through the World Wide Web to connect with you or your organization, I wanted to get you on the radio first thing. When I called you up and asked you if you do radio interviews, it was sort of a dumb question to ask you, because I can't imagine a guy like you must have done thousands of radio interviews. So we're really happy to have you here on KSCO. So welcome aboard. So tell us about cryonics. I mean,
well, first of all, I think I should correct a couple of bad impressions that you made earlier. One thing that was mentioned was the cost. And actually,
was the what?
The price, the cost.
Oh,
yeah.
Did I talk about that?
Well, somebody on your station did. A lot of people have the same idea that it's extremely expensive and out of reach of all except the rich, and that's not true at all. Actually, most Americans can afford it very easily through life insurance. The total cost for members of the Cryonics Institute is in the neighborhood of $30,000, and when you pay for that through life insurance, unless you're already old or sick when you try to get the life insurance, it's very easily affordable. And the other point was this matter of brain freezing or head freezing. That is times done, and in the case of Luna Wilson, Robert Wilson's daughter, her brain was frozen by a company called TransTime. I think she's still there. But we don't do that. The Cryonics Institute doesn't do a brain or head-only freezing. We freeze whole bodies.
Oh. Okay. Now, where do we begin? I mean, I don't even... Of course, we've all heard the rumor that Walt Disney's body was frozen and preserved.
Well, as far as we know, it's not true. The story we heard was that he was interested in it, but after he died, he lost a lot of influence, and his family decided against it. In any case, as we understand it, there's a marker or a plaque in a cemetery in California with his name on it. And what's under there, of course, we assume it's him. but let me get back to your earlier question about
sure.
the basics of cryonics,
yes,
if I may.
Please.
Yeah. It's really pretty simple in a way, and very complicated in some other ways. The basic idea is that, first of all, better to be alive than to be dead. And second of all, if you can prevent somebody who has recently died from getting any worse, from deteriorating any further, then advanced future science, future medicine might be able to revive him. And, of course, that can be done. What we can do is take a person who has recently died, or who has just died, preferably, and freeze him or vitrify him, I'll get to that later, by special methods that minimize the damage, and then store them at a very low temperature in liquid nitrogen until such time as future technology may be able to revive and rejuvenate them.
Okay. Well, so that's pretty much what I would have thought. I'm sure of the process. You talked a little bit of, you mentioned the price. Oh, here's that phone again. You know, Dave, we're going to have to do a commercial break or something, and I'm going to have to reestablish this phone call, and we're going to have to do better. Is there a storm in your area, Mr. Ettinger?
The sun is shining here.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well.
the crackle went away for a while, and then it came back.
I know, yeah. This is the worst kind of of a thing here, but let's see what we can do. We're going to take a commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to try to fix this because it's very irritating. So take it away, Dave. We'll be back in a few minutes.
If you have trees or brush that need cutting or removal, there's a guy I think you should know about. If you have a bunch of stuff you want to clean out and need a dumpster, there's a guy I think you should know about. And it's the same guy. His name is Adolfo Garcia, and he works at Community Tree Service and Dumpster Rentals. Boy, does he work at Community Tree Service and Dumpster Rentals. In fact, he owns Community Tree Service and Dumpster Rentals with its efficient army of trucks, chippers, and other equipment that can get any tree or demolition job, large or small, done quickly, with no nonsense, and at a fair price. Pretty impressive for someone who's only 31 years old and built this business from nothing in just a few years. Got a tree job or need a dumpster? Call Community Tree Service at 763-2391. Talk to Regina or Naomi and let them take care of you. 763-2391. That's 763-2391. 763-2391.
Hi, it's Sophie. I just want to remind you that wherever you are during your busy day, you can always get your longevity supplements. So listen up. In Soquel, go to the Bay Briar Shop on the corner of Soquel Drive and Daubenbiss. Call them at 462-1965. That's 462-1965. In Aptos, don't forget Whitelaw Chiropractic and Wellness Center. They're on Soquel Avenue next to the Little Taco Bell. Their number is 688-7077, 688-7077. In the San Jose area, call Marilyn Henderson at 408-262-1888. That's 408-262-1888. And now, you can check out VitaminGoddess.com. That's VitaminGoddess.com. No excuses not to take care of yourself.
Buongiorno, property owners. When you need to clean up your property, call on the professionals at Coyote Industrial Cleaning. I'm Bob Farmer, but my friends call me Mr. Clean because I'm the one that cleans up downtown Santa Cruz. When you need to clean up your sidewalks, patios, driveways, pool areas, decks, buildings, and carpets, give us a ring at Coyote Industrial Cleaning, 429-5521. That's 429-5521. Or at Bob Farmer in the Santa Cruz White Pages.
Let's see, Webster's Third. Here it is, Farmer Foray, an ignorant, rustic, yokel, bumpkin, clumsy, stupid fellow. Dolt. Whoa! I say forget Webster and join me, Michael Olson, Saturday at 9 a.m. for some What's Eating What Radio right here on the Food Chain. We'll talk with the newsmakers and earth shakers, explore brave new world technologies, and debate food in the belly issues. It's you and me and What's Eating What Radio on the Food Chain, Saturday at 9 a.m. right here on the big one, KSCO.
I have a secret passion. Sundays at 4, and then at 5, some more. Peeling off my persona suit, opening wide my mind, letting him take me to places only dreamed of with brilliant wit, wisdom, and wicked elan. If you dare, I'll share. Dave Allen, Sundays at 4 and at 5, some more on AM 1080, KSCO.
The world is changing daily. Old familiar views don't seem to work anymore, and that's why there's Embassy of the New World Order, the one and only foreign affairs radio broadcast, where all politics are global, Sundays at 11 a.m. Greetings and salutations. I'm Cyril Vatomsky, your progressive multicultural ambassador of the New World Order, and I am here to offer you tools and information to better navigate through murky waters of international politics. I will gladly listen to your opinions and will be happy to tell you where you are wrong. Join me for the free weekly foreign affairs seminar, the Embassy of the New World Order, Sundays at 11 a.m. on KSCO.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Zwirling.
This is in response to the hornet's nest I stirred up with the most recent Initiate the Draft commentary. You, Gary Ransone, and others with the same parental knee-jerk reaction went ballistic at the notion of your child having any military involvement whatsoever. You're right that I did not want MZ to have to fight in Vietnam, but had he been called to serve, he would have gone. The alternative of abandoning his country was unthinkable. My oldest son, Lou, served in the U.S. Army for 3 years. part of it in occupied Germany. My husband Bernard served 3 years in the Navy in World War II and was on his way to help finish off Japan in 1945. Then VJ Day happened. But this is a different world now. Islamic terrorism is real and barbaric and will not stop and has permeated every part of the globe. So we must have a strong military which will inhibit and discourage the enemy much more than if we remain weak and vulnerable. The reaction of those of you who are appalled at the suggestion that we must be militarily strong always say there are other ways to deal with our enemies other than war. But, like the far left now in power, they have yet to propose a peaceful solution or any solution, and meanwhile the enemy becomes stronger. It's tragic and idiotic that the four-month-old liberal-led Congress is now busy micromanaging the Iraqi war with their foolish, destructive, non-binding resolutions, which only serve to tell the enemy that we are buckling and about to give up. So, to Pelosi and Murtha and the others involved in those political shenanigans, I say you have probably blown it for 2008, proving you're incapable of true and honest leadership. To all caring Americans, I say, get real. We are in the midst of fighting for our very existence. If we do not confront the enemy as a nation with a formidable military, we will lose our freedom and everything that is dear to us. Bullies don't fool with those who are strong and prepared. 2 years of military training and its attending discipline will not hurt your sons and daughters or my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. It will make them stronger and better involved citizens. Only by being together and militarily prepared will we ever hope to overcome this evil, very organized enemy. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Okay, change of plans. We're not going to be doing the cryonics program because we couldn't get a good phone line. He tried to call us on a cell phone, couldn't get through. Everything, nothing worked. So
that's a bummer.
Yeah, it's too bad. So open mic, gang. Good segue from Kay's latest commentary that was just played. Good idea to play it now. Fill up some of the time. And I understand that yesterday there were some sparks flying here before this commentary played. Apparently there was something. Vernon played the previous commentary that, you know, it's funny. Wherever I am, I know, even when I'm out of town and, you know, not within range of KSCO,
right.
I know when there is a new K's commentary because I suddenly start getting a whole bunch of emails and voicemails, you know, about it. You know, most of the time they're positive. Sometimes they take issue and so forth. And this time I didn't. There was nothing. There was nothing for several days. And I guess it was sort of a delayed reaction, you know. So, and then as the week wore on and it played more and more, people started. You know, we went to the business fair and people were saying, you know, I heard your mother's commentary, and you know, I don't agree with her. I said, well, you have a right not to agree, but. So I think it really struck a chord with some people because other people said, you know, she's right on. She's absolutely right on. But I'm fascinated by the fact that there was so little, at least initial response. And then yesterday, all bleep broke loose on the air, apparently. Let's take a phone call from Richard N. Watsonville.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Richard?
Sitting here listening to all the action all week.
Was that you who called KGO and asked about me?
That's right.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm going to get that answer on KGO. Maybe from the man himself.
Oh, man.
That was funny, though. I mean, Ron Owens hung up after me.
I had heard that someone said you were talked about on KGO.
Yeah, I wanted to know why John Hamilton fired you when you were, what, 19?
More like 16 or 17. Probably 17 or 18.
Some station up in the Bay.
KPAT.
There you go.
Yeah.
But
that was in 1969. Should I tell you why? You know why, right?
Yeah. That's why I asked the question.
Right.
But you can tell them.
Is it okay for me to tell the audience? My very first job in radio that was a paid job, I was a student at UC Berkeley. And it was during the People's Park crisis of, you know, the pre-Cambodian incursion, but it was right in the thick of the Vietnam War, and everybody was mad about everything. And the students were extremely upset, about losing the what had become a wonderful garden project right smack in the middle of the city, in the city of Berkeley. And they call that People's Park. The university that owned the land had decided that they wanted to reclaim People's Park and build a gymnasium on it. And that made the people go ballistic. How could you take? It doesn't matter that you own the property, the university. How could you take away the wonderful garden project from the community? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Anyhow, there was this big eruption of all that. Hold on just a second here. What happened was there was this big controversy, and the Blue Meanies, which was what the students called the Alameda County Sheriff's Department, people were called in,
I thought they called them the pigs.
Yeah, they said, heads up, the pigs are coming. Anyhow, I was this new kid at UC Berkeley, and all I wanted to do was hang around the radio station, and I would have given my left you-know-what to have my own show. And, you know, it seems like the more I wanted a show up there, the more these big-egoed people who had control of the radio station, you know, the students up there and the student organization, sort of kept me out. I mean, you know, they just had this almost sexual pleasure in denying me, you know, the chance to be on the air. But when all this was happening, when all these riots were happening, you know, what do you call the national, they called in the National Guard and everything. Everybody wanted to be out, you know, where all the action was, observing it firsthand. Nobody wanted to be in the radio station. So they said, oh, Zwirling, put Mikey on. He'll do it, which I did. And I was thrilled. You know, I got to run the radio station and be on the air during all this action. And right then is when I received a phone call from John Lennon and Yoko Ono, who wanted to be put on the air on the student radio station to reason with the students, say, no damn pox worth losing your life over. Stop this rioting. It's ridiculous. Peace, love, you know, all that kind of stuff from John Lennon. And it was a real thrill, you know, to talk to him. But shortly after that whole episode, I picked up the phone at the radio station. And there was it was the program director of a commercial radio station in Berkeley saying, I've been listening to your program. I like your voice. And we have a job down here for, you know, maybe why don't you come on down? I'd like to maybe offer you this job. And so I got this job at KPAT being the snow phone. Okay. Now the snow phone was a bank of maybe 20 telephone lines connected to very primitive answering machines back in 1969. And I got to, you know, compile a ski report from all of the ski areas that would call into that radio station and give us, you know, how many feet of packed powder snow and what the conditions were and what the weather was and all that. So
report.
Yeah, doing a ski report that people could have on demand. They wouldn't have to wait for the radio to hear it on the radio, although they did a lot of reports on the radio also. But they wanted to make it on demand. It was this man, sales manager of the place called John Hamilton. And he had come up with this idea. He wasn't the guy who hired me, but I used to want to have fun with a snow phone and, you know, just use flowery language. Instead of instead of packed powder snow, I said compressed white delight. And I got fired for that.
Because he didn't think the advertisers would like it.
Yeah, whatever. So years later, I mean, it says, so John Hamilton is now, I think he does something on Saturday. He's on KGO, I don't know, I think early
on
Saturday. Yeah. So he's a character, and I knew that someday I would run into John, and I could tease him about five, because I went upstairs and I begged him not to fire me, because the program director loved me. He says, I got to do it. My boss is telling me he's got to fire you because I've got to fire you because you said compressed white delight. And I walked up, and John doesn't remember this, because I did finally run into him about 6 months ago at a broadcast legends meeting, and I said, hey, you know, I feel like punching you in the nose because you fired me for my first paid job in radio that I loved. He says, oh, I did? What did I do? You know. So anyhow.
So how do you think he feels now? How do you think he's going to feel when I hound his butt from here on out about that?
Are you really going to do that, Richard?
Well, I'm not finished yet. But then again, I'm not finished on a bunch of these monkeys out here in radio.
Yeah.
And you know who they are, and so do I.
You're amazing.
But the thing is, I called up about your mom's commentary.
Oh, okay. What about it?
Because I called Vernon yesterday, and I don't know if you remember, but I remember when they came out with that draft lottery.
Sure, I remember. Everybody remembers
that. When your brother went in, they had the draft.
Yeah.
But if you missed a semester or something like that, or if your semester was up, you were back on the draft list, I guess.
Yeah, you lost your 2S student deferment.
You had to reapply, and that's probably why Cheney got five or six semesters or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
It took him a long time to graduate, I guess.
Right.
But the thing is, we put draft lottery on there. When we had the draft lottery, did that get your attention, Mike?
Sure.
Oh, wait a minute. You had asthma or something, didn't you?
Well, what worked
you
out.
You wouldn't have gone anyway.
I had a, well, you could have knocked me over with a feather, because I didn't think that the asthma was bad enough to get me a 4F. That's what it did.
Well, I remember you weren't too good at PE.
That's, yeah, I was a nerdy. I was more interested in, you know,
women.
Being, yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, that when the draft lottery came around, I don't know if you remember Terry Barton.
Sure.
But Terry was number two.
I was number 176.
I was number 14.
I was right in the middle. I was right in the middle.
Yeah, but you were above 150, so you really didn't have to worry.
Oh,
until
really?
The next year. If you're 150 or below, you're going. But the thing is that when you have a draft lottery, it's even.
Yeah.
It excludes nobody. It's done by your birthday.
Right.
You have no chance to, I guess you have one chance to try and get out of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's called going to the induction center.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
You mean an acting gay or something?
I don't even think that'll get you out anymore, because the United Nations, or no, was it the World Court, just decided to... that everybody should be allowed in the military, whether they're gay or not, and England just instituted it last month.
Uh-huh.
So, it's not long. I mean, the gays are already in there, Mike.
Yeah.
It's not like they're not in there. They are in there.
Well, whatever.
But it really doesn't matter. It gets down to killing.
Yeah.
How far do we want this killing machine to go?
Uh-huh.
And then do we want the killing machine to come back here to our own streets in the form of Rambos and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Or should we send those guys on?
Well, no, wait, so what's your point here? Yes draft or no draft?
Oh, draft lottery.
Draft lottery. Okay, fine.
You know, I don't want to hear the word draft because it allows too many...
Yeah, Kay isn't here, but here in the studio, but I'm sure she would agree with that, because that's the fair thing to do.
Well, she'll say it's just a typo or something, or it's just, I'm just nitpicking about words. But no, there is a big difference between the draft and the draft lottery. And the lottery is only held once a year, and it includes everybody. Nobody gets out.
Yeah.
It's done by your birth date.
Right.
See you, Mike.
Okay, thanks, Richard. Always great to hear from you. 479-1080, give us a call. If you want to talk about this, let's continue the subject for the rest of the hour. Anyhow, Kay's commentary, in fact, her latest new one here. Here's Helen in Watsonville. What you got, Helen?
I just turned the radio on. I just heard the last little portion of Kay's comments, but I got the gist that she's for the troops being over there. Is that right?
Well, yes.
Okay. Does she have any relatives?
Wait a minute.
Does she write her comments by herself, or does she have your help or somebody else?
No, she does everything. Well, she certainly doesn't have any help from me. That's for positive. She's her own person totally. Once in a while, she shares something that someone shares with her.
I see.
Because she has a big voice that can be, you know, can pass along a lot of stuff. But most of what she does, she writes 100% herself, including the last two commentaries.
Okay. Now, is she so passionate about having the troops over there? Does she have any relatives over there right now?
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're not talking about – I wanted to back up and say – She wants to do it right. She doesn't want to do it with our hands tied behind our back like we did Vietnam. Because this is turning, everybody will agree that this is turning into a Vietnam or worse.
Right.
You know? So, you know, we either do it right or don't do it, for God's sakes. And doing it right means not depending upon the all-volunteer army where the people go over there now to fight, knowing, you know, that they're doing it voluntarily, but then being asked to do second and third and fourth tours of duty because there aren't enough people.
That's where my son is. Now, if she's so passionate, why doesn't she encourage her relatives to go over there? If she's so passionate, you know, about the whole thing.
Okay.
Does she encourage her grandchildren to go over there?
Do you want to hear the commentary again? How much of it did you hear?
Just the very last portion.
Uh-huh. Did you happen to hear the original one from...
No, I didn't.
Okay. I don't know. Should we... We have other callers. I'm sure your question will be answered. And maybe if Mom is listening, she might call in herself.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Now, one more thing. I also get the gist of past comments that she's made. She's a Bush person, right? No?
More than a Kerry person, for sure.
Well, no, I mean, Kerry's out of it. Look, whether we got Kerry
or Gore,
those three,
she's definitely,
they all belong to the Skulls and Bones, so we would have gotten the same kind of
I think
people,
Well, okay, yes. I mean, I'm sure that my mother supports Bush. Well, she supports our president, and I'm sure she would much rather have Bush than Gore or Kerry.
So she supports the Patriot Act and all that? Are rights being taken away little by little?
I don't know.
If she supports
Bush, let's put that in as a request. I'm sure she's.
Pretty soon they'll take away free radio, and then let's see if she supports Bush then.
Uh huh.
Okay. That's all I have to say.
Listen, I don't think Bush is an angel. There's a lot of things that he does that I don't care for at all. But
are you a Bush person?
Am I a Bush person?
Am I Bush? Did you vote for him?
yes, I did vote. I voted for him twice.
Oh,
yes, that's true. I did.
Are you sorry you did?
No.
No.
Absolutely not, because of the choices. The choices were the alternatives were absolutely unstomachable for me.
Yeah, but now we got better candidates than last time. Better than last time.
Well. Hope so. I mean, I don't know about this Obama guy. He certainly is charismatic, you know.
I
don't think Hillary is a better candidate than we've had last time. I think she's the worst.
Yeah.
I think don't get me started on her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You'll hear plenty of commentaries from Kay in the future. But thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Helen. Here's Mike in Santa Cruz. Mike, you're on the air on KSCO.
Good morning.
Hey.
You know, I'm really plagued by being a political moderate, you know, and here in Santa Cruz, that's a nightmare. You know, once the left really starts getting to me, then I hear, you know, the comments that were just made that we need to do this thing right, and that drives me nuts. The time to ask that was 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rumsfeld wanted to run this war on the cheap. You know, if you wanted to do a service to the troops, that was way back when the invasion first went off, which I never supported to begin with. I was all for us going into Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And now what I'm seeing, and I have an 18-year-old son.
There are a lot
son.
Of people who were for Afghanistan and against Iraq, yeah.
Right. But, you know, I have an 18-year-old son. I'm sorry. I do not want to see him go over to Iraq for a war I never supported to begin with. And, it's not that I'm a bleeding heart liberal. I do think we need to take a stand on terrorism. I think that was the last and the worst place to take that stand because it was one of the most secular nations in Islam.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to invade somebody, invade Saudi Arabia. That's where most of the 9/11 hijackers came from. But as far as the draft, I think we're doing a disservice to our military enough as it is. It's just going to dilute the quality. And then if you don't like the analogies to Vietnam, you institute a draft and start sending those boys and girls over there, and you will have another Vietnam, because you're going to then fill it with a lot of people that have no desire to be there and have no desire to serve. And I do have a nephew who's done 2 tours of duty in Iraq in the U.S. Army.
Uh-huh.
And, you know.
Well, we'll put you down as anti.
As a definite no.
As anti-draft. Okay, thanks, Mike.
All right.
And Santa, thanks for listening to KSCO. Pat in Santa Cruz on K's commentary. What do you think?
I think we should have a military, and I have no problem with that. And the problem I do have, though, is the way this war has been conducted is a disgrace, not just from the standpoint of incompetence, and there's plenty of that. It seems like we could have got bin Laden at Tora Bora.
Yeah.
And utterly incompetent. But the real pisser, excuse me, is that there is so much war profiteering going on in that country now. And, of course, this country.
Uh-huh.
We've got Halliburton and Bechtel and all these, as far as I'm concerned, war criminals.
Yeah.
Just raking off billions of dollars.
I'm sure there's an awful lot of
corruption. They aren't even supporting the troops. I mean, Halliburton's they jack up the price of gasoline twice or more, and then they put all that profit in their pockets of their top people, and the water and the food that goes to the troops that Halliburton was supposed to be the private contractor supplying is oftentimes contaminated. I mean, and I'm not exaggerating, contaminated. So the point here is, when we've got war profiteers sitting far away from where the bullets are flying, and the bombs are tearing through people, tearing their limbs off, and these guys are making billions of dollars, they're war criminals. And the rest of the world knows that. Our media only gives us the slightest little glimpse of that, but they're war criminals. The rest of the world knows it, and we aren't fooling them. We're just fooling ourselves. That's what I got to say. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Pat. 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to weigh in on this topic of the draft and Kay's commentaries in particular. Go ahead, Chris, you're on. Chris.
Yes.
You're on.
Yeah, I want to talk about the, I'll tell you, Bush and Cheney, and Bush went to the guard on his sweetheart deal, and Cheney got out of the draft in Vietnam by getting deferments, and even Karl Rove got out of the draft because George's daddy, he was working for the Republican National Committee.
Okay, now, and I don't doubt that any of this that you're saying is true, but what does that have to do with having a draft or not having a draft? Because that's the topic today. I mean, that's what the topic has evolved into.
Just seems like the guys that have started this war, this crazy thing they did, are none of the people that were willing to volunteer themselves.
Oh, of course not. Total hypocrites, but, you know, do as I say, not as I do type people. But the world is full of that. The question is, we're at war now, and we're in a hell of a situation, and do we need a draft? My mother says yes. What do you say?
I don't think we do. I think we need to actually get there, what they said, the coalition of all coalitions of the NATO together. I don't know why they didn't do that. They said it was going to be this big coalition of people, and it was, you know, his dad did it right going into Kuwait, but he didn't do it right. They basically lied us into this war. I think they just basically lied us into this war. And maybe if I lost $10 billion in cash, maybe I could get a Medal of Freedom.
Yeah.
You know? So
okay.
I just think they're hypocrites.
Well, Chris, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. 479-1080. A line has just opened up. We're going to keep it going fast. Hey, a whole new MZ doesn't let people sit on forever and ever and ever here. London and Santa Cruz. You got a comment on the comment, Ari?
Did you say London?
Yeah. It says London.
Okay. I'm on? Okay.
Yeah, you're on.
That's my name. This guy was just talking and saying how, you know, I think they lied us in the war and stuff. But, you know, here's the thing. After 9/11 happened, you know, do you remember the first confession tape that came out, the bin Laden confession tape?
Well, not really. You mean confession or, you know, taking credit? I mean, I guess it's the same thing.
If when's the last time you saw that tape exactly? Do you remember the last time?
No, I really don't.
You should go back and
sort of
watch
out
that.
Of my mind here.
You should go back and watch that because
is it on the internet? Can you get it pretty easily?
It's been proven only by independent sources because the major news outlets would not touch this. But it's been proven that that is not Bin Laden in that tape. If you watch that tape, it does not look like Bin Laden. He writes with, like, his wrong hand that he uses. He wears a gold ring, which is forbidden by his religion or something.
Yeah.
And it's pretty sad that they haven't admitted that.
Okay,
or,
well, wait a second. We're really getting off track here. Let's just talk about
the
draft, yes or no, okay?
Well, it's crazy draft. The other caller you had, the last female caller you had, brought up Skull and Bones, you know?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, you know, I mean, you know what that is, right?
Yeah, we haven't done a Saturday special on it. Maybe we should. I'm a believer that the Republicans and the Democrats are all the same, and they both stink, and they're
satanic.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know about that, but maybe you're right.
There's proof for that here about Bohemian Grove.
Okay, we got to do a program on that. Okay, I want to stick to the topic here. Thank you very much, John and Scott's Val or Salinas Val Salinas. John.
Hey, John. How you doing, Mr. Z?
Okay. Will you stay to the topic? Nobody else is staying to the topic. They're running off in all directions, and I'm having to move on. By the way, 479-1080 is our phone number. Call us and stick to the topic, damn it. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, really, Bob, I think you're very lucky to have a mother, you know, like you do. But it seems like every time I hear a commentary by her, I mean, it just gets my blood boiling.
She and I would both suggest that you must be way over to the left then.
Because, actually not.
Because probably, people who are way over to the left think my mother is a Nazi.
Not at all.
They did a cartoon on her a couple of years ago in the Metro, DiCenzo did, and it showed her with a swastika armband on her. And it's just, it really angered everybody at the radio station. She sort of laughed at it and said, consider the source, you know, because nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, we're a Jewish family victimized by the Nazis. Why would we be a Nazi? Anyhow, go ahead. Sorry.
No, not in the least, but, we live in America, and, you know, there's the free exchange of ideas here. What bothers me so much about what your mother's, I guess, would say, mentality on this is that if you don't agree with the war, you're anti-American. Or if you don't totally support Bush, you want, you know, Bin Laden to win.
Okay. I don't think that's true. I think that's what the left says. If you don't agree with us, you don't not only, you know, you're anti-American, but you don't have the right to breathe. I don't think my mother's like that. I think she thinks people are sort of stupid if they don't see what is the obvious as far as she's concerned. But I don't think she thinks that they're not Americans. You know, that's part. Oh, my gosh. Here she is. Let's put her on. Okay, Ma. They're talking about you. Hello?
Hello?
Wait a second.
Rock now.
No, wait a second. Ma.
What?
I'm sorry. We missed part of that here. Start all over again.
All I want to say is the fact is we are in Iraq right now. And it's true that we have made mistakes in Iraq. We have been too weak. We have our National Guard there now. Doesn't that tell you that we don't have enough of our own soldiers? If we made some mistakes, pulling out would be disastrous. Don't you all understand that if we pull out now, that they're going to come here and we're going to have to fight on our own soil? So we should allow our people to give it its best shot. And yes, I agree with Richard. If we have a draft, it has to be what's the other one? The name where
lottery
with a lottery.
Yeah.
So everybody has a chance. And if you think it's so terrible now, if you allow the people in charge of our government right now, the left, to take the money away from the ones that are fighting there now, that's insane. Then things are going to be 100 times worse.
They're not trying to take the money away. And we've already given this administration 8 years.
Yes, but right now,
to pull this into a war where we have thousands.
It's not 8 years.
Young men and women that have died for the service of this country. And what do we have to show for it?
Nothing much.
We have nothing. We have a disabled Middle East. I mean, a disorganized, unstable Middle East. is against us. And what have we accomplished?
We've accomplished.
The only thing we've accomplished was lots and lots of innocent Americans and Iraqis of that too.
Especially Iraqis. You're right, but listen, look at the alternative.
We would still have Saddam Hussein in power.
Forget that. When you make mistakes,
we have countries out there like North Korea, Saudi Arabia, which are definitely more threats to us. But we decided to, President Bush decided to pick on something that he thought at the time was politically advantageous.
No, he had the wrong intelligence, and we all agreed.
He created the wrong intelligence.
Right,
he didn't have it.
Look, we can't look in the past. Let's just look to the future.
I understand.
So don't talk about that. What do you want to do now? You really want to pull out
We need to do a stable, organized pullout of Iraq.
Okay.
Iraqis do not want us there.
How do you know that?
What?
Have you been speaking to all the Iraqis, or are you just assuming it?
The roads are lined with IUDs saying that we don't want you here.
Let me tell you what's happening with us in the last 4 years. It's the media. It's the American media who has told us everything the bad that they could possibly think about, because they despise Bush so much that they don't give a damn whether we win or...
Just because the media reports what you don't want to hear doesn't make it wrong.
They only report half the story. They don't report the good stuff that's going on.
Oh, there's plenty of good.
Why don't you even listen? Even KQED has soldiers that are on that are not saying what they want them to say. They're saying, give us a chance. Good things are happening there. Don't pull us out now.
We'll lose everything. I'm an ex-Marine myself. We have a wonderful military over there, military.
And do you think it's the political leadership
that's in charge of them over there have messed it up
They want to fix it. Let's give them a chance. Give them a little more time. That's all they're asking for.
200,000 more troops in Baghdad itself will not make a difference.
Everything will make a difference.
I put John on hold. Go ahead, Ma. He has to listen now. He's not answering the question.
If we pull out now, does he really think that everything's going to be good in Iraq? All the terrorists in the world have congregated in Baghdad because they'll do anything in their power so that democracy doesn't take hold in the Middle East. Now, this is not, we're in a bad spot there, but if we pull out now, it's going to be much, much worse because they're going to be here. In fact, a lot of them are here. So don't lose your cool now.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, John, for your call. We'll go to Roger in Pacific Grove now, and Kay is still on. I don't know if you want to talk to Kay or not, Roger. I don't know.
Well, Kay can certainly listen in. That's fine. I just wanted to say, while I often agree with Kay's commentary, this one I disagree at least in part with, because I think our lack in Iraq was not a lack of manpower, but a lack of willpower to use our firepower. We have an overwhelmingly superior military force there, which we did not use. We've been trying to be politically correct.
That's right.
That's been a problem.
No, it's our problem for allowing it. So now what would you like to do, Roger? What do you think is the smartest thing to do now that we're in this terrible mess?
I think we have to turn the troops loose to do their job and fight the bad guys.
Do you think that we should keep the National Guard there when they should be here in our own country looking after us? Or shouldn't we have more troops to help make this thing come out right?
We may need a few more troops to make it come out right.
That's all you have to understand, folks. I think 90%
of the country is peaceful. It's in better shape than it was when Saddam was in charge. There's just a couple of bad spots, like Baghdad, that the bad guys are, and we've got to clean them out. Then we can go home.
Exactly. But we can't clean them out if everybody panics and says, we got to leave. We got to leave right now. We're leaving a mess.
I know. Absolutely.
So we have to finish it off. The only way we can finish it off and hope to win is to have enough of our own troops there. And I repeat that the media is not telling the whole truth. They're only trying to paint a very black picture, and I don't blame every single parent for being scared and they don't want to send their kid over there to fight a war that can be useless.
Yeah, but everybody's everybody thinks that if you had draft age kids that you wouldn't be talking the way you are.
That's not true. I've lived at, I'm probably, because I'm very old, and I've been part of this whole thing. I lived through it in World War II. If we didn't get together and really put our hearts into trying to defeat Hitler, we would all be saying Heil now in the United States.
The world and fighting is a different place now, and I don't think we need as large an army as we did in World War II.
Why don't we use the nukes?
Why if we don't, if we have enough army there, then why do we have to give our whole National Guard and make them be there too, and nobody's here?
Because we're not letting the army fight the way it was trained to fight.
Now our leaders see it, and they're going to give it a good push if they can.
So
we give them a little more time?
Okay, thanks, Roger. Let's go to Dave in Soledad about the draft. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Well, Cassio.
479-1080 if you want to give us a call. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, well, I want to talk about the draft. As far as Mrs. Z's goes, after the last time I talked to you about, you know, you said you didn't know much about the attack on the USS Liberty, although you purport to the public that you know something about what's going on, and I think that answer was just unacceptable. And as far as I'm concerned, that taking the side of Israel on the attack of the USS Liberty is nothing short of treason. So, sorry, but I think you're a traitor. Anyways, to go on to the draft.
But the traitor just let you have your say on the traitor's radio station.
You sound like a fool.
You're an idiot. Anyhow, Kevin and Salinas, you're next on the Saturday special. Go ahead.
Hey, MZ. How you doing, bud?
Good. How are you?
If I was any better, I'd have to be friends. Hey, we don't need a draft. What we need is mandatory service, period. Every young man and woman in America needs to serve the country for at least 2 years.
That's what I said.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how you let these nutcases get out there and talk about old history and common liberal life.
By the way, Craig in Oahu Kevin and Salinas is on. JT in Watsonville, we know you're there, and the phones have just lit up. We're just jammed with phone calls. We're going to continue this into the next hour right here on your favorite radio station, KSCO Santa Cruz. Salinas Monterey. It's 11 a.m.
Worshippers leaving a mosque in Anbar province, the target of terrorists today in Iraq.
A truck exploded outside a Sunni mosque in the city of Habaniya. It is in the heartland of the Sunni insurgency right between Ramadi and Fallujah. So not clear at this stage yet why a Sunni mosque would have been targeted or who is responsible for this crime.
Fox's Clarissa Ward, at least 35 people are dead. Over 60 have been injured in this blast 50 miles west of Baghdad. Some harsh words for Iran.
All options are on the table. Those are the words of Vice President Dick Cheney. It's a pretty clear warning to Iran that a military strike is possible after Tehran ignored a UN deadline to halt uranium enrichment and vowed to defy international pressure.
Fox's Greg Jarrett. A British newspaper, meanwhile, reporting that Israel has discussed sending warplanes through U.S.-controlled airspace in Iraq to carry out strikes on nuclear facilities in Iran. For its part, Iran insists it's not trying to develop nuclear weapons. In the Midwest, sound of snowplows doing their thing again. As winter weather moves east across the plains and the upper Midwest, Colorado has already had its share of snow this year, but more is coming. A gunman who kidnapped a 13-year-old boy at a Florida school bus stop yesterday is still on the loose, but sheriff's deputies say they expect to arrest that man soon. The boy escaped after being tied up and left in the woods, managed to walk a couple of miles, found a farmer. They called police and got help. A set of switches, the possible cause of a commuter train derailment in northern England yesterday. The Scotland-bound train carrying 120 people. One passenger was killed on that train. You're listening to Fox News. Fair and balanced.
The jury is in, and it's time for my ruling. In the matter of LegalZoom.com making it easy and affordable for consumers to create common legal documents, like a last will and testament, forming an LLC, registering a trademark, and more, guilty. I'm Andrew Napolitano, the judge. By now, I know the facts, and the fact is LegalZoom.com is my choice for common legal documents. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom takes care of the rest. LegalZoom.com is not a law firm, but was founded by top attorneys, so you know the documents are reliable and of the highest quality. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% off the cost of going to an attorney. So go to LegalZoom.com today and find out how easy forming an LLC, creating a living trust, or even registering a trademark can be. Receive a special discount off any service by typing in the judge, all one word, in the referral box at checkout. Protect yourself, your family, and your business. Visit LegalZoom.com today. That's LegalZoom.com.
The Anna Nicole Smith battle rages on.
Judges in the Bahamas are preparing to take up some bitter disputes over the estate of Anna Nicole Smith. At issue, who owns the waterfront home she occupied during her lifetime, the same home where her boyfriend, attorney Howard K. Stern, has been staying with Smith's five-month-old daughter, Danny Lynn. A Bahamian judge has ordered that Stern may not take the baby outside the island nation until the courts determine who has custody. A guardianship hearing is expected to resume on Monday in the Bahamas. John Seri, Fox News Radio.
In Columbus, Ohio, it is the end of an era.
Since 1999, business has been very slow at the original Wendy's location in downtown Columbus. Spokesman Denny Lynch says it was a tough decision to close the store that started the nation's third largest hamburger chain.
We're deeply connected to that original store. It's clearly a part of our heritage, and we held off making this decision for many, many years.
The location only has a handful of parking spots and no drive-through. Lynch says all the historical memorabilia will be moved to their headquarters in Dublin. In Columbus, Ohio, Matt Bruning for Fox News Radio.
For one hockey referee, a cheap but smart shot.
Dale Newdorf took a stick across his face while reffing a game in Saskatoon, Canada. Doctors treating his broken nose and busted lip found a tumor in his brain. They're planning to perform surgery. The player who cross-checked him, Nolan Crichton, now wanted by the Mounties for the attack. But the referee says, no hard feelings. Chris Foster, Fox News Radio.
Not the most appetizing of sights, as several rats were frolicking around behind a window at a Kentucky Fried Chicken Taco Bell in New York City.
I used to eat in here. I can't believe this is happening. I just saw what was in the window, and it's unbelievable. I won't eat here again, that's for sure.
The restaurant has been closed down by the New York City Inspection Department and will not be allowed to reopen until it's thoroughly cleaned. I'm Rod Fritz, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, February 24th, 2007. Today, you can expect mostly cloudy conditions, a few showers developing by the afternoon. High should be around 60 degrees. Tonight will be considerably cloudy with lows around 46 degrees. Wind should be south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, you can expect overcast conditions with highs around 56 degrees. And tomorrow night, cloudy with a few showers and lows around 43 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, with wind waves up to 1 foot and a northwest swell 6 to 9 feet at 12 seconds. The temperature here at the station is 57 degrees, and it's time for hour number two of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Okay, boy, what a hot first hour. Well, let's start the second hour officially.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have
okay, I feel horrible, ladies and gentlemen, because, like, nothing's happening the way we planned today. And, yeah, we got to continue from last hour.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO Radio 5.
Oh, not bye. We really say hi. Hi, and welcome you all to the second hour of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's MZ with, well, my mama, KZ, is on the telephone now defending herself. But before we get back into that, we have totally jammed phone lines, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the draft. Boy, you did kick a hornet's nest, Ma. I'm just amazed that it took so long for the hornets to come out. I mean, it took like 5 days or something. But we are going to we promised that we were going to do hour number two on rent control. In light of the circumstances, we're going to continue this. But out of courtesy to the gentleman who drove a good, you know, 60, 70 miles to be here, his name is George Drysdale, and he was on our Good Morning Monterey Bay program earlier in the week. I think it was Thursday. He kicked his own hornet's nest, really upset a lot of people with his ideas about getting rid of rent control for mobile homes. Now, a lot of people who are very much against rent control, myself included, are willing to accept rent control for mobile home parks. And why? I don't know. I mean, if rent control is bad, you would think it would be bad across the board. But I don't know. There's some, I guess it's compassion in me. People who live in mobile homes are at the bottom end of the economic scale. And if it wasn't for them being able to live in affordable rent controlled mobile home parks, they wouldn't be able to live here at all. But then why, I mean, why do we differentiate? I don't know. That's this man's. But George, we're going to have you on for just a couple seconds, and a couple minutes here, just to sort of tease the fact that we have to do this the right way. I never should have scheduled you for an hour. I should have scheduled you for more, and we shouldn't have had any kind of a schedule for multiple topics here. So Craig in Oahu, Gene in Salinas, Trace in Aptos, Kay and JT in Watsonville, stay on the line. Bear with me. We normally play the K's commentary right now anyhow, but that's already been played last hour, so we won't play that. Let's just talk to George for just a couple minutes here. And is it correct that you have an initiative that would dissolve rent control for mobile home parks? Wait a second. Yeah, go ahead.
It would actually do away with rent control. What we're talking about here is the rights of the property owner to own his own property. Now, what's been happening here and throughout the state is that because the politicians and the newspaper editors don't understand economics, and rent control is the number one most studied subject in economics, these tenants have buying land because the owners have given up in the state of California, where it's virtually the only state that has rent controls in the United States, and buying, say, for instance, recently, a 55 million 12-acre parcel of land in Aptos for $3.73 million with giveaway financing. And then this is locked up for 55 years, making this truly a remarkable event in economics. And then they could turn around, and they have turned around, and sell their mobile homes, that is the land, for multiples of the Blue Book valuation of their houses. It is not affordable housing at all when you pay $400,000, say, for a $40,000 mobile home.
All right, so that's the tease, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry we won't continue today. There's just too much residual from the last hour. Thanks for coming down, George. We'll either have you back for a real program on the phone or in person here. Mm-hmm. And you take care, okay?
Okay.
And I apologize to our audience also. Just the way things happen. We thought we were going to be able to talk about cryonics, but the luck of the draw was last hour we had a bad phone line on the other end here that just wouldn't stop crackling. And so I guess we'll have to reschedule that, too. My mother went away. I don't know. She probably maybe has something else to do. Maybe she'll come back. But here's Craig in Oahu. Thanks for waiting, Craig. You're on the air on KSCO. Hello.
The rent control issue sounds like a good one. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We're all wound up about this discussion we're having. I'd like to go forward with it a little further, too.
Yeah,
that's
well,
okay.
That, in the business, we call that a tease. So just more okay. reason for you to keep tuned to your favorite radio station.
Will do, definitely. I want to talk about the draft, and that's the topic. But leading into that, I wanted to mention that my understanding of our mission there in Iraq was to change the face of the Middle East, and I don't hear much about that anymore. That's what sold me on the idea, given that at the time the information the president had in front of him was that Saddam Hussein was capable of supporting the enemies, our terrorists, these terrorists that are our enemies.
Yeah.
And whether or not one agrees with what we've done or not, we're in the fight. And if we pull out, our only alternative is to circle the wagons here at home. I don't think that's going to get us anywhere. I think we need to continue the fight, especially.
I think that's a no-brainer, and I just don't. And I realize that people who have a draft age or military service age children are blinded by that emotionalism, by that emotional fact. But it's a no-brainer. What you said and what my mom said. You know, I don't want to circle the wagons here. I don't want to have to circle the wagons.
That's not going to help the planet. That's not going to help the plight of
the human race. Just
going to
make it worse. Just going to make it worse.
We've been inhibited in this fight. We went in, we had some momentum, and our political correctness, as one of your earlier callers said, is exactly right. We were inhibited. Uh-huh. But about the draft, I have a boy that's a year and a half years old, and I'm anticipating that by the time he's draftable, we're still going to be in this fight somewhere.
Uh-huh.
At the moment, I'm a little disappointed with what's happening in Iraq, mostly because I'm disappointed in the fact that it seems that more than half of my countrymen, certainly all of the media, have been weighing us down, inhibiting our activities, and thus really causing us to fail at our endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I want my sons, my one son and the new one that just arrived, to be ready to do the right thing. And I think the draft in general would be good for our young people. I'm in favor of mandatory service, not necessarily just for Iraq. I think for the good of our society.
I never understood why it went away, to be honest with everybody. I mean,
the bitterness of the failure in Vietnam, the so-called failure, you know.
I guess
wouldn't
that
you
makes
agree?
Sense. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. You still need to have a military to protect your country, regardless of what happened in Vietnam. I still don't understand why it was ever dropped to begin with.
And how many of us in our going about our daily lives are feeling the war? Very few of us. I think that's another contributor to our struggle there, and part of the reason why we haven't been successful. Is, you know, we've been making money. The economy's been very good to all Americans, for the most part, since Bush has been in power. And it's, you know, when you're here at home, hey, things seem fine. What do we hear from the media? The world's falling apart. We don't have anything in the war. None of us have put any skin into it. We're not feeling it. Maybe if there was mandatory service, maybe we would all have a little more skin in the game and we would take this a little more seriously and really pay attention to what's happening in our world. I've got Fox on my computer screen right now. Iran says U.S. can't hit us. Are we to just look the other way and not take this serious? Are we to put our National Guard against our enemies?
Yeah.
Is that enough? I don't think so.
Yeah, we're getting a little wussy here, I think. Hey,
thanks,
Craig, are you really in Oahu?
Yes, sir.
And
it's 9:16 a.m. here. It's partly cloudy, breezy. I'm getting ready to go out the door when your program's done, and hopefully.
And so you listen to. I'm sorry if we've spoken before, and I sort of spaced out. Yeah, okay. And so you, I'm sure I asked you this. So are you a Santa Cruz expatriate or?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. That's why
when I was young, attended school out in Watsonville. There was a boarding academy out there. Left for a while and went back to Santa Cruz and then decided to leave again.
Oahu is a wonderful place.
Very happy to be here.
Just a wonderful place. Okay. Well, thanks.
Thank you,
keep listening. Shoot me an email sometime. I'd appreciate it. Thanks, Craig.
Will do.
Take care. Okay, RC in Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I personally, I'm for mandatory service myself, but for different reasons. I believe that if there was mandatory service and everybody's kids had to serve, it would probably give our politicians pause before they started a war, because to market a political campaign. I can't prove that that's what politicians actually do. But, you know, nobody knows what goes on in the internals.
So wait a minute. Run this by me again here. I'm a little thick. What's your reason for mandatory service? Because you think it would be harder for politicians to pull shenanigans?
Exactly. To start foreign wars for political advantage.
Don't you think it would be easier for them to start shenanigans because they have a more ready available, you know, army of people? Don't you think it would be exactly the reverse of what you think?
Well, my thinking is that if middle-class kids and upper-middle-class kids had to participate in foreign wars, their families, as opposed to poor kids, their families vote. And so that's my reasoning, that they would be a little more likely to think it over a little more carefully.
Yeah.
Okay. Before they started a foreign war. However, I don't believe that this will ever happen, and I think Kay touched on it a little bit. That's what's called a political non-starter. There's no consultant or strategist, political consultant or strategist, that would allow their candidate to pursue mandatory service. I don't think you can get reelected on that issue.
Right. Okay, thanks, RC.
Sure.
Appreciate your call to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO, where the phone numbers are 479-1080. We do have lines available now, so it's a great time to weigh in on this subject. Gene in Salinas, you're on.
Hi, Z. How are you?
Hey, Gene. Good.
I enjoyed your mother.
Yeah, I don't know where she went. I guess she was on a roll there, and I think we interrupted things. Well, but just out of courtesy to the...
One of the days you'll hold on to her, and I'll be able to say hello to her and talk to her.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, I'd like to know if anybody out there knows if Kilroy is over there in Iraq.
I think Kilroy passed away about 30 years ago. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, because in the good old days, Kilroy always was there first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I enjoyed the sparring this morning. Okay. The reason I called is I want to adopt your mother. I've said that before. Now we should have universal training. Okay. Now, that could be the fellows who want to go to the military, go to the military. Those who want to go, as I stated one time before, we had the government had a CCC that was for people who would, young fellows who, and I knew quite a few of them. I was very young in those days, but they all volunteered. They all built up their health. They got good food, and they became men. Okay.
Right. Okay.
So, but I'm sorry your schedule went pot, but
we roll with the punches. We roll with the punches around here.
There'll be another day.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Thank you, Z.
Thank you, Gene, for your call. It was Gene and Salinas. Here's JT in Watsonville. Thanks for waiting for 29 minutes, JT.
You know, MZ?
Yeah.
You saved me for last because you love talking to me so much.
No, it's not last. There's a lot of other people around. But I felt guilty leaving you on as long as you did.
Anyway, you know what? While I was hanging out on hold, oh, by the way, largest compliments to you for supplying the station for us to speak on and the sponsors that help you with that. And biggest compliments to your mom. I pay them to her whenever I get on the radio.
Thank you.
I've got some of that 18-year-old meat here at the house that's would be one of the first to be called up to come in and serve for mandatory service. He's raised in an honorable house by honorable parents with respect for our country and patriots in the family before them, some of whom lost their lives in wars past.
Yeah.
And he knows what citizenship means, and I think that's part of our problem here in the United States. if you're called to serve your country, if you're a real citizen of the country, if that means something to you, that you have a respect for it, that when you give it away or it's willy-nilly or you know, it just doesn't mean anything to you, and everybody can be a citizen, even if they hang out for a few years in the United States, then it doesn't mean much. And so I think it's the responsibility of us as citizens to serve our country, each and every one of us, for at least 2 years of our lives, and give back a little bit for all that others have given, whether it's the blood of their family.
I would think that the lines would really light up right now with what you're saying.
Well, you know,
but they're not. But they're not. But they're not.
You know,
What's happened to this? What's happened to us? What's happened to us?
You know, the fact that each and every one of our children, and I've got a 16-year-old daughter and 18-year-old son, each and every one of them would be responsible to serve our country in some way. I'll tell you what, we get more people out to vote in the elections that for the politicians who are responsible for the lives of our kids. God bless those families with soldiers serving over in the Middle East and defending our country from the terrorists that are out there. And I'm not a warmonger, and I wish that it would be over, and I want to win this and not have another Vietnam, and our brave guys have been over there. But if we're going to fight a war like this, the National Guard needs to come home. The country needs to recognize that our blood's going to be spilled. Young blood, not volunteers, draftees, is going to be spilled. And that, do you really want to do this? Is this what you want to do with your kids? Or would you rather have them building bridges here in the United States? So the twisted truths by the media, I don't even want to get into that. There's probably other people on hold. They tell us what they want to do to destroy the administration because they have an agenda. And God bless them. That must be the way that they vote and campaign, because
right.
We see no good news out of Iraq, and a lot of good things happen there. A lot of Iraqis die for their country every single day, 10 times more than our people die over there, because they believe in what they're fighting for. So, MZ, thank you.
Bingo. Hey, thanks, JT. Appreciate your call. Hey, I don't know what's going on. Hey, Liz, is that you with your radio on again?
I just turned it off.
Oh, geez.
I think the crucial thing is being missed here. And that's why I decided to hang in on the program. The fact is, if we pull out now, we're a failure. The other fact is, if we stay in, can we win? And I'm not clear as to whether even your mother has a grip on that particular facet of things. Because what we got into this...
is going on here with Liz and her telephone and her... we'll try one more time. Are you there, Liz? Liz went away. Okay. Okay. London has an apology for his earlier behavior. Are you
How you doing, man?
Were you the Jew hater who called, or was that someone else?
No, I don't know who you're talking about.
Okay. All right. So what earlier behavior are you talking about?
Well, I didn't really stick on topic, man, and that's not really cool. So I would like to apologize for that. Maybe propose a solution, actually, to the draft situation would be to be responsible Americans, set an example to the other countries of the world, and actually punish the people who lied us into this war. Now, I would be for going to war with, like Saddam Hussein, you know? What he's doing was not right. You know, let's stop that. That's not cool, killing a bunch of people and everything.
Yeah.
You know,
well, is that our responsibility?
Well, you know, I don't know if it is or not, but I'm not really for that. Is this other thing our responsibility either? We didn't people act like we went to war for Saddam Hussein, but we didn't. I mean, we went to war for oil and sacrifice to satanic gods and shit. And I would be praying
that was a word that I thought I heard, but I didn't. Yeah, so let's...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that, too. I got a lot of apologies, man. And I will be praying for you and your mother.
Oh,
that,
God.
You will, you know, be okay.
Don't say profane words.
The afterlife and such.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Now, here comes Tyler in Santa Cruz.
Hello?
No, it says Tyler in Satan Cruz.
Santa Cruz.
Was that you? Are you being funny, Dave? Okay, the call screener's having fun today. Tyler and Satan Cruz. Go ahead, Tyler, you're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to report that Kilroy is alive and well in Iraq.
No, that's impossible. He passed away 32 years ago.
No. He always popped up before we got there, and we went into some places that none of us have ever been.
Okay, all right. All right. I guess we can make that the topic of the next Saturday special, whether Kilroy is alive or not. Is that it?
Yep.
Okay, thanks for calling. Mm-hmm. Okay, Perry in Salinas. No, not Perry. Peter. Peter V. in Salinas Draft. No, I guess it must mean Peter V. in Salinas wants to talk about the draft. Go ahead, Peter.
Good morning, MZ.
Hey.
Yes, I'm all for the draft, just as long as at the very top of the list are every one of those kids at the Ivy League schools, at Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, Berkeley. Now, if I'm not mistaken, that's actually what's missing in this draft, is we don't have our best and our brightest. All these kids of the elite and the privileged, and I include that in our illustrious leader's two daughters.
Yeah.
Now, if we're led to believe, MZ, that this is a battle for civilization, that we've got to stand up or we'll have to stand back, then I want every one of our elected officials and everyone that says they support this war to, as our founding fathers said, you commit your life, your family's life, and your fortunes. No more of this credit card war, Michael.
Right.
And that's my opinion on it.
Okay, so no more of the credit card war. So what do you do now, though, specifically, as my mother would ask if she was on with us?
Your mother is spot on. It's time to have everybody, especially those people that have the money, to put the money up. And these people that have the kids, it's time for them to put their kids up. If this indeed is a battle that we want to win, there's no more of this 1% of the population. There's no more that's borrowing the money from China to fight this war. I want it right up front.
Okay.
That's my solution to this. And again, I want to start with the Ivy League schools. I want them to either put up or shut up. There's none of this, well, you know, we'll just get these rural kids. More than half the kids that are over there are from rural communities. No. I want these kids from the Ivy League schools, number one. Number two, Michael, as long as I'm on it, I want these professional sports athletes. That's what I want. I mean, these are our best and our brightest. Let's get those guys. Same with these rap stars. These guys all talk about how tough they are, and they carry guns already anyway.
Elvis served.
Elvis served. Thank you. Ted Williams served. Thank you. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Peter, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. We appreciate it.
Carry on, Michael.
Keep listening in Salinas. That opens up a bunch of lines at 479-1080. Give us a call. You know, I'm beginning to think I shouldn't have let George get away, because the thing is, Ma, why did you hang up, damn it? I mean, she's going to say it's because I changed the subject here, because I just wanted to be polite to the person who drove down here fully expecting to be on the air at 11 o'clock. So I think I did sort of a crummy thing with him. But I only did it because I decided that we were on a roll with some really passionate discussion, the likes of which I haven't heard in a long, long time on this station. And then we come back after a couple minutes and my mother's gone. So what gives? All right, Ed. Go ahead, Ed. You're on.
Yeah, better go somebody check. Maybe she, if there's somebody at the house to check on her?
No, I think she just got mad that I changed the subject.
Never can tell.
Yeah.
Hope it's
it was
not
only
bad.
For a couple minutes.
I'm a believer in public service. I don't think it particularly the draft, but I think got to have the choice of non-military service, and you know, take their choice, but they ought to have to put some time in for the government.
Okay.
I think that, you know, yes. You go back to Kennedy, ask not what you can do for the country can do for you, what can you do for the country, and earn your, more or less earn your citizenship. And you, at that time of life, they're making up their choices, what's going to happen to them in life, and some of them don't have a clue.
Right.
And a couple of years getting out and seeing other parts of the world and our country kind of gives them a little better perspective in what they're going to do for the rest of their lives.
You are for mandatory service.
Yes, but I think the
downside. This is cool. I wouldn't have expected that out of you. But
pardon me?
I wouldn't have expected that out of you. That's cool.
Well, I served during the Vietnam era without having I wouldn't have, because I was married, wouldn't have had to, and then had children, wouldn't have had to served in Vietnam. But I didn't serve in Vietnam, but I served in the military during that time. And it never crossed me, you know, I never really did think about leaving the country or anything, or even, you know, even the draft, because I had made up my mind what I was going to do, and the draft didn't even come into the picture, other than other people were being drafted. But I think that the big thing is having a presidency that's going to use the military wisely and not squander it like Bush has. I think what he's done to the reserves is absolutely unconscionable. They tried to do the war on the cheap. He had the one general said he's going to need 350,000 troops, you know, and they wanted to do it on the cheap, and they go in there and screw it up, and we're behind the power curve all the way now, and even the paltry few people they're trying to put back in there aren't going to quell the problems that they have, and those problems existed before we even invaded.
Okay. Ed, thanks for your perspective on calling the Saturday special. 479-1080 is the phone number to call. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Gordon in Aptos on a cell was a draft dodger. Draftee. It says draftee.
Actually, I was a draft dodger. I got drafted in 1966. The way it happened was I was in University of Georgia, and I eloped with a girl. I missed the semester, and we went to University of Colorado at Boulder. And I lost my draft status, and I continued through the year there until my parents notified me that the FBI was after me. So they actually came to where I was living. The FBI escorted me down to the local magistrate in Denver, and he said, "Well, do you want to go into the Marine Corps or enlist in another service?" So I enlisted. And that began a 10-year odyssey in my military career, which I do not regret. And
thank you for serving.
Yeah. And the way I feel, and eventually I became in federal service after that for a while, but I've been a civilian since 1979. The way I feel about it is, that yes, we should have mandatory service. The draft isn't necessarily a good way to go about it because it's somewhat arbitrary. I think the Israeli model is good. The warriors, like the cream, will come to the top. The warrior athlete class that is actually doing the fighting in Iraq right now, or is a professional warrior athlete class. I know that those people, I have friends that have kids and stuff, and the people that are serving right now are far, far more professional than anything we've had.
But we need more of them. But we need more of them.
Yeah, I think we probably have enough if we change the rules of engagement.
Okay.
I mean, that's
so you're the second one who said that today. We want to thank you for your call.
Change the rules of engagement. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Gordon. Bye-bye. 479-1080. It's only 25 minutes remain. I think I saw Kay in the building here, so maybe she'll be coming in here. Big Gun Gordy will be next, but we want to do a commercial break here, so let's do that. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay with us. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, on the Saturday special.
For grocery shopping the way it used to be and the way it should be, shop family-owned and operated Shopper's Corner at Brand Safforti and Soquel in Santa Cruz. Why? Give a listen.
The entire store is ringed with bottles of wine. Good wines, all prices, and you can get great ideas from their wine buyers. They're not wine snobs. They're really helpful.
Well, I don't shop at Shoppers, but my mom does, and I won't eat hamburgers from anywhere else.
I love Shoppers. I love when I walk in and see the clean wooden floors. I love the quality of everything, really. The quality of the meats, the vegetables are so beautiful, you could do a still life painting. And if that's not enough, I always can depend on finding my Italian Prosecco that I love so much every time I come here.
For meat, cheese, bread, produce, and the best selection of wine anywhere, shop Santa Cruz's oldest and friendliest family-run market, Shopper's Corner. It's the store with a wooden floor.
Life's good at the beach. Hello, I'm Joe Criccio, owner of Beach Auto Sales in Santa Cruz, where life is good. One reason why life is so good at Beach Auto Sales is that we save you money, a lot of money, on the best pre-owned cars, trucks, and vans you'll find anywhere, like Beach Auto's Deal of the Week. Listen to this.
Save $10,000 on a 2006 Mazda MPV with only 13,000 miles. Comes with a 4-year, 50,000-mile factory warranty, two available for only $16,989.
Save money on your next car, truck, or van. Make a quick trip to see Joe Criccio at Beach Auto Sales in Santa Cruz. Located down by the beach where life's good, I'm at 512 Pacific Avenue. And hey, if you have any special car or truck in mind, give me a ring. I'll find it for you. I'm Joe Criccio, owner of Beach Auto Sales. 4200-200. That's right. My phone number is 4200-200. 4200-200.
Life's good at the beach.
Your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie of Direct Electric.
And I'm Dave Christie. Whether your problem is a light switch, breaker box, meter main, or anything in between, Direct Electric technicians will fix it right the first time for the right price. And here's the best part. Direct Electric will not bill you for a service call.
I don't think they heard you, Dave. You better tell them again.
Okay. Direct Electric will not charge you for a service call.
And if you have an electrical emergency, call Direct Electric at 425-1407. I'll rouse Dave and he'll come running.
Priscilla is right. If you have a real electrical emergency, the kind that just can't wait till morning, call Direct Electric and we will come running.
Remember, your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. I will take your call.
And I will make certain that your problem gets fixed. Call Direct Electric at 425-1407. That's 425-1407.
Okay, welcome back to the Saturday special. Hour number two, 21 minutes before 12 noon. That means only 21 minutes. 21. Excuse me, I'm chewing. This is very rude to be chewing when I'm talking to our esteemed audience. But I have a reason for chewing. Nick, who does the Noon Balloon on Mondays and who will today do Perspectives, he never comes to the radio station without bringing fresh-baked goodies from his mom. And the fresh-baked goodies were absolutely delicious, and I always eat more than I should, including today. I only had one piece of the meringue with walnuts in it. And I thought I'd be able to finish chewing it and making, you know, disgusting sounds long before the commercials were finished. But I was wrong.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. But at least I'm honest. Okay, Mike in King City, but not before we have Big Gun Gordy in Boulder Creek. You're on.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey.
Keep it on topic here. I'll try to be concise. The draft. That is the topic. We do need the draft for a number of reasons. One of the primary reasons is to keep everybody's head straight so they really know what's going on in this world. In today's world, most people evade responsibility in whatever manner they can do. It was pointed out earlier, the credit
card.
Correct.
That is the way of our, that is the new way of our land.
Yeah. Well, that's point number one. Point number two is the draft should be all-inclusive with the exception of those that are disabled, that cannot physically, you know, pack themselves up and go fight. We have some of the brightest people, allegedly, in our universities. They had been getting deferments during the Vietnam era. Such was not the case during World War II. My uncle, who was a very bright, intelligent person, went into the Signal Corps because his specialty was electronics. He received the Congressional Medal of Honor. He was not on the battlefield, but his brains brought an end to the Pacific Theater in as much as he saved thousands of lives by his invention of the mind detector, which Varian built. Now, there are other people within our institutions of higher learning that also have contributions, especially in this day and age where it isn't all the grunts out there in the front that are fighting the battle. There are very smart people that can figure ways out of conflict. And those people are needed, especially today in the high-tech world. So I think your mother is right on with her comments. I had to think about these comments that she made for a few days because I, like everyone else, don't like the idea of putting bodies on the line if not necessary.
May I ask you a personal question?
Certainly.
Do you have children?
Yes, I do. I have grandchildren.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would want them to belly up and to be patriotic and stand up for what they believe is right, just as I did. I wasn't drafted. I went in before a draft because I thought it was my duty and my responsibility, and I wasn't going to let some other part of the world tell us how to live. And today we have people right here in this country. The media is not reporting all the story. The sin of omission is so great, it's unbelievable to me. They do not report what we are doing, why we are doing it. I haven't heard too many people in the media at all, except for on your station and some of the other talk stations, even discuss the real reasons that we're over there in that part of the world. I'm speaking of the Middle East.
That has to be a separate program.
That has to be a separate program.
Yes.
It is a very deep subject to get into.
Right.
But as far as the draft goes, I think that now is the time for a draft. If not now, when? We have the National Guard gone. Their primary responsibility is to defend our borders here at home, not being, you know, replacement.
Okay. It's been said. Thank you very much, Big Gun Gordy.
Thank you,
always great,
Michael,
to hear from you. Mike in King City, you're on the air on KSCO AM 1080, your favorite radio station and mine too.
That it is, and thank you. No, I don't believe we need the draft. We just need our Congress to start spending our money on what's best for all Americans instead of what's just best for a few, like welfare. We have plenty of money, and if we had a draft, we're spending this money anyway. But what I would like to see is every high school graduate should go through boot camp before they enter college the next year. And this will give them a basic understanding of who and what these people are and what they go through to protect us. And they may find that they like this. And at the same time, we start developing a citizenry that is capable of picking up a gun and protecting ourselves. And I think in the long run, this would be better for us. I like the fact that we have a volunteer army. I think that does bring the best to the forefront. But we should have more like 5 to 8 million, and we need bases in every state. So every state can realize
maybe
these people do for us.
Yeah, maybe the pay needs to be a whole lot higher, too, to attract people. There are probably very high-quality people who stay away from the volunteer army because they don't think that they can make enough money.
I would pay them more. Of course, this is the most important thing that any country can do, is to build their defense, to protect their country so that country can continue with its way of life.
Right.
And when you weaken it and you start taking bases away and you put the money into programs that are designed to help just a few Americans, our politicians need to be making decisions off one thing first. Is this in the best interest of America? Is this in the best interest of all Americans? Not their friends, not the companies, not business. For example, the Mexican trucks are going to start coming across their border.
Yeah.
That's not in the best interest of all Americans. That's in the best interest of a few companies.
Mike, thanks for your call to the Saturday special.
Thank you for letting me rant.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And you do have an awesome show. I'm glad you guys are still on the air, and man, it's just great to have you back in the old format.
Oh, good. Well, I don't want to rush you off the air since you're complimenting us here. So, but no.
Yeah, have a good day.
Thank you very much. Take care. Okay, here is our next caller, Dan, on a cell phone. Wait a minute, Dan. Where are you on your cell phone?
Don't worry, I got my Bluetooth on.
No, wait a minute. No, that's not what I'm worried about. I just want to know where you are. I have a right to know where you are, and so do all the listeners.
Oh, okay. Well, I am on Highway, 17880 Interchange.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, coming in pretty well over there?
Yeah, I'm just starting to fade out on the radio here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we were going to have to cut our power way back to 250 watts, And, you know, I don't know how far that gets us. It's a big difference from 10,000 to 250. But Don, our fabulous tower man, has given us a reprieve today until tomorrow. So if you tune in, if you're going to listen, if you want to tune in to listen to Cyril, it's going to be scratchier. Depending upon where you are, you won't be able to hear him probably. Unless it rains, then we probably won't have to power down.
Okay.
All right. So you called to make a point, and I'm knocking you off it.
Yeah, just to touch on the a little bit. I think it's a good idea. And having served myself, people, I think, are scared. I talk to a lot of young kids, and they're scared of boot camp. And they say, oh, we've enlisted, but, oh, man, boot camp, I don't know. It's like, you know what? It's not that hard.
Oh.
Yeah. Most kids I talk to, they're like, oh, I don't know if I could survive boot camp. Oh, it's like, hey, you know what? I was 18 when I went in. I went to the Corps.
I don't want to go to boot camp.
Yeah.
But I think it would make a man out of me.
Well, I don't know about that. I think you're probably man enough. But it's all about discipline and following orders and honor.
Yeah.
And they want you to succeed. You know, they want you to help you to get out and be the best that you can be.
Yeah. I tell you, the best teacher I had, it's sort of tied with the best teacher I had. Tied with Mr. Listener, you know, who was my government teacher. He was tied with Mr. Zek, I would say, because Mr. Zek was my geology geology teacher when I was a freshman in high school. And he worked us so damn hard. I mean, he was a slave driver. And his philosophy was, I want you to be prepared for college. Boy, did he over-prepare. College was nothing. It was just smoking dope with the professors who would sign my independent major thing, you know? So, I mean, it was a piece of cake compared to what Mr. Zek had us prepared for, you know? And that was 3 or 4 years. Anyhow, he was great. And so was Mr. Listener, who got me interested in government, which I had no interest in before that. So
sounds like you had some good mentors there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, so it sounds like you have another thing here, do you?
Oh, just real briefly, I still remember the people out of serving that were like Pat Tillman. You know, the people that were and rich and gave it up to go for a higher cause.
Right.
All I have to say. I really appreciate
special.
Your
and
program.
Thanks for remembering him, too. Pat Tillman was fantastic. Thank you, Dan, on a cell phone.
Okay.
On 880. Very good. Okay. It says here a caller called to say there is no reception in Watsonville. Maybe we are powered down. Are we powered down, Dave? I don't know. Maybe we did.
I don't know. I think we did.
Oh, okay. All right. So, give us a call. Let us know how your reception is. I'd sort of be curious, where, you know, from wherever you are here. 479-1080. Chris and Zianti, you're next on the KSCO special. You're on.
I can see solve two problems. Instead of having a draft, why don't they offer the people that are 12 million people coming across the border, say, we'll give you a citizenship. You just got to spend 4 years in English, spend 4 years in Iraq, and then you're a citizen.
Now, what's wrong with that?
I don't know. That's why I brought it up. I mean, we can kill people. Let's just line the border with recruiting stations just do that.
Right. Okay.
So that's just and it seems like if George was Georgie boy was so into this war, he would have sent his daughters over there. But I don't know about that. But that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for saying it, Chris in Zianti, California. Have you ever wanted to be from Zianti, California? It's a very interesting, different place in the mountains. I spent time there when I was a youngster many, many years ago, and I found myself wishing I was from Zianti, California. All right, Robbie, the gun guy, you're on.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hey, I spent 22 years in the United States Army. Part of it was in a draft army, and part of it was in an all-volunteer army. I'm very much in favor of the draft, but I would do it a different way. At one time, when I first went in, we had what was called universal military training. It wasn't quite universal.
A.K.A. UMT.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't quite universal military training because there were, of course, college deferments. But I liked the idea very much when I went in of everybody being called up and serving 6 months, being trained to be a soldier. After the 6 months, the people were given an option. They could join the Army Reserve and spend, I think it was 6 years in the Army Reserve, or they could join the National Guard. And I think it was 2 years in the National Guard, both cases including the first 6 months. Now, the draft Army was not anywhere near as good as what we have now. But if these people got their 6 months of training and then went and spent a couple of years in the National Guard or the Reserve, you would have a good army of people that were trained, ready to deploy if the necessity arose. One of the advantages of the draft Army was that, seeing as so many people were drafted from all walks of life, even against their choice, they wrote home to their parents and told their parents what it was really going on.
Robbie, we gotta pump up the pace here.
Okay.
Okay. I love you, but you're talking way too slow. Putting everybody to sleep.
That improved the Army.
Okay.
However, we also had problems of discipline. We had fragging and things like that going on in Vietnam when I was over there. And that was one of the disadvantages of the draft Army.
Okay.
I would like to see a system like that where everyone, with no deferments of any kind, was drafted into the six-month program when they completed or when they turned 18.
Yeah.
And this got a lot of people with their heads screwed on correctly, which we don't have now.
That's exactly right.
It would also be a way of breaking up this gang business that's going on all the time, because those people were photographed and fingerprinted. If they turned to a life of crime, they could be apprehended much more quickly.
That's what needs to happen. So it's a good thing that we're having the Saturday special here, sparked by my brilliant Mother Kay's two last commentaries.
I'd like to do one other thing, if I might, sometime. And
what?
That is, if we have another program on this subject, I'd like to come up and be in the studio and field questions with you.
Well, talk faster.
Okay.
Okay? Because that's one thing that I'm real sensitive about. You know, and it's a shame, because just because a person doesn't talk fast doesn't mean that they're not passionate and intelligent.
I want to have enough
time. But you gotta talk fast, or else people tune out.
Well, I want to have enough time for my words to sink in.
Okay. All righty. Thanks, Robbie. You take care. Nick and Hollister, you're on the air. 479-1080 if you want to call. There's only 6 minutes left. Go ahead, Nick.
Your signal in Hollister is better this Saturday than it's been for a long time. So you're not shutting down here at all. The other thing is, I served my time in the Army, and because when the draft was, everybody had to be drafted, or supposedly everybody was drafted. Well, you couldn't get a job. You could go to college, but then as soon as you finished college, then you'd serve your military time, which I think is only fair. And I agree with the other callers, and your mom, I agree with her. I think UMT, Universal Military Training, if you're a conscientious objector, you can still serve your time and learn a great deal. And also the discipline. But also, beats out a lot of bad character.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, we had a much better country when we were a little more militarily regimented. You know? Didn't
we? You're absolutely right, because
it wasn't just anything hang loose. There was no morals, no scruples, no integrity. Or very little. I mean, there's very little integrity left in this country. It's just a sad state of affairs, you know.
I'm well over 70 years old, and
don't sound that old.
I can see the change.
Uh-huh.
Big change in this country.
And I'm 15, at least 15 years younger than you, and I'm just realizing it right now. I mean, it's incredible. Just in my lifetime. how this place has changed.
No, it is.
It used to be a country of honor, and now it's a country of, I don't know, what's a good word? What's a good word?
Do your own thing.
Okay. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Keep listening, okay?
And tell your mom. I love her commentary.
Okay, will do. Thank you. Jan and Slov.
Hi, Michael.
How are you, Jan and Slov?
I'm doing fine. I'm for the draft because we need to have people who are responsible in this country and who don't cause all kinds of problems and talk against the country, talk against the soldiers over there. You know, if they went over there, they'd learn a little bit of respect, and they'd grow up and become a man.
They ought to be proud to be Americans.
They should. Look at the spirit that we had going after the end of the World War II. We were one. We were all together.
Yeah.
Now that they're trying to divide us. And if these little weenies could get in there and learn some discipline, and like somebody said, to take orders, then I think this nation could be great again.
I think you have coined a great new phrase, or, you know, two words make a phrase, little weenies. I think that's a great, yeah.
That's what
we
they
are. A country, we have become a country of little weenies.
That's it. Don't you think, Dave?
I would have to agree with you.
You have to agree with Jan and Slove. She came up with it. She coined it. She should be given an award.
I'll make one right now.
Recognition.
I'll go make one right now.
Okay.
Train these little weenies to become men.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. That was Jan and Slove, which stands for San Lorenzo Valley. Golly, we only have 2 minutes left of the program. What are we going to do? You know, I mean, there's nobody on the phone. There's nobody on the line, you know. It was a big mistake. It was a big mistake for me to be courteous to the man who drove 60 plus miles to be here, to be on the radio.
That was a long trip.
It was a big mistake. I know. It was the right thing to do, but it was a big mistake because it killed the pace of the radio show. It was real spicy up until then. I mean, have you heard much more of a passionate exchange of good radio since you've been here?
I thought today's show was excellent.
Yeah, it was okay, but I mean, it sort of fizzled, you know. It's not like it. Oh, is there someone on the line now? Yeah, we have less than a minute left. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, I think do we have a Saturday special scheduled? Luz in Santa Cruz wants to go on. Hey, Luz in Santa Cruz.
June from Santa Cruz.
Oh, June in Santa Cruz.
Uh-huh.
How are you?
Oh, fine. You said to have some 2 minutes. That's why I just want to talk that. I agree 100% of your mother, Kay, said. So since I don't have your mother's wisdom, so I cannot say too much.
Anybody who believes that my mother has a lot of wisdom is themselves a very wise person, including, hey, we got to go.
Okay,
it's the end of the show. Thanks very much. Okay, take it away with a that's all, folks. See you next week. SCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, 12 noon.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Carton. Iraq attack. Police west of Baghdad say at least 35 people are dead after a truck exploded as worshippers left a Sunni mosque. More than 60 wounded in the blast that happened after prayer services. A leader of the mosque had recently spoke out against militant violence. The manhunt is on in Florida. Authorities still searching for the man wanted in connection with a brazen kidnapping of a young teen.
We've gotten some pretty good leads that we're following up on. We're extremely hopeful that by the end of this week, we'll have the suspect in custody.
Manatee County Sheriff Spokesman David Bristow, 13-year-old Clay Moore, was snatched at gunpoint Friday while waiting for his school bus. He was tied up and left in the woods, but managed somehow to escape and get help. Blizzard warnings in effect in Colorado and other parts of the nation. I-70 from Denver to the Kansas border shut down.
Visibility is only down to one little reflector post.
Colorado motorist Clint Wallace. In Milwaukee, a winter storm already being blamed for 3 weather-related deaths. And residents of Minnesota have been told to get ready for up to 27 inches of snow. The nasty weather continues moving east. The president continues to push his health care plan.
By giving our states more flexibility and making our tax code fairer, we can reform our health care system and restrain costs.
During his weekly radio address, the president proposed treating health insurance contributions as income. Well, next stop, the Bahamas. It's the next battlefront over Anna Nicole Smith.
At issue, who owns the waterfront home she occupied during her lifetime, the same home where her boyfriend, attorney Howard K. Stern, has been staying with Smith's five-month-old daughter, Danny Lynn. A Bahamian judge has ordered that Stern may not take the baby outside the island nation until the courts determine who has custody.
Fox's Jonathan Sary in the Bahamas. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
The jury is in, and it's time for my ruling in the matter of LegalZoom.com making it easy and affordable for consumers to create common legal documents like a last will and testament, forming an LLC, registering a trademark, and more. Guilty. I'm Andrew Napolitano, the judge. By now, I know the facts, and the fact is LegalZoom.com is my choice for common legal documents. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom takes care of the rest. LegalZoom.com is not a law firm, but was founded by top attorneys, so you know the documents are reliable and of the highest quality. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% off the cost of going to an attorney. So go to LegalZoom.com today and find out how easy forming an LLC, creating a living trust, or even registering a trademark can be. Receive a special discount off any service by typing in the judge, all one word, in the referral box at checkout. Protect yourself, your family, and your business. Visit LegalZoom.com today. That's LegalZoom.com.
Former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack was the first candidate to announce his bid in the 08 presidential run. Now, he's the first to call it quits.
To become president, you need votes. But to get votes, you need money. And that's what Tom Vilsack lacked.
I came up against something that for the first time in my life where hard work and effort couldn't overcome.
And so the former Iowa governor dropped his upstart bid for the presidency. Despite his early start, his campaign never really caught on or attracted the level of support of super fundraisers like Clinton, Edwards, and Obama. As for whom he may endorse, Vilsack says he's not there yet. In Washington, Mike Makowicz, Fox News Radio.
Jurors in the CIA leak trial have the weekend off, but deliberations will resume Monday. Louis Libby is accused of obstructing the probe of who leaked the name of a CIA agent. The former White House aide also charged with lying to the FBI and a grand jury. He faces 30 years behind bars if convicted. Another consumer alert. Watch what you eat on the West Coast. This time, it's cantaloupe contamination, the fruit distributed by Castle Produce. And Kraft is now recalling some of its chicken products with the Oscar Mayer label.
It's a nationwide recall for chicken breast strips and chicken cuts, including all sizes and flavors. Scientists say they found possible contamination in a sample of the product. Now, no one's been sickened, and Kraft says the recall is a precautionary measure. Oscar Mayer and Lewis Rich chicken products being removed from supermarkets across the country. Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio.
Now, we've all thought about doing this while we tear our hair out in commuter traffic. A New York driver strapped a first aid mannequin onto his passenger seat while using a local expressway in the HOV lane. The mustache dummy wore a baseball cap. The driver admits he'd been using the mannequin for months to save time, all on his commute. Well, he was slapped with a $90 fine. I'm Lisa Carton, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, February 24th. 2007. Today you can expect mostly cloudy conditions, a few showers developing by late afternoon. High should be around 60 degrees. Tonight you can expect considerable cloudiness with occasional rain showers, lows around 45 degrees, and winds south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow will be overcast with rain showers at times and highs around 56 degrees. Tomorrow night, cloudy with lows around 43 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, south winds up to 5 knots, wind waves up to 1 foot, and a northwest swell 6 to 9 feet at 12 seconds. The temperature here at the station is 56 degrees, and it's time for Perspectives right here on AM 1080 KSCO.
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to the Perspectives Radio Show. My name is Donald Davidson. I'll be your co-host today. Joining me in the studio to host the show is the famous Nick from Nick at Noon on Mondays. And our very special guests today are Dr. David Kennedy and Jeff Green. Nick, why don't you let us know what the subject is about today?
Today we are talking water fluoridation and why this issue is so important, which our guest will be explaining here in just a little bit. First of all, I do want to say that this issue in Watsonville, City of Watsonville, the fluoridation issue goes back to the 1950s. The people back then didn't want it, and they still don't want it. In 2002, the people of Watsonville enacted an initiative that established specific criteria as far as trying to use the water supply system for forced medication. And the most amazing thing happened is that the courts and the state came in and overturned the will of the voters, which is where we are today. And because of that, now the state is coming back and trying to force, again, fluoridation into our water. This is a consistent trend throughout the country in which the government forces this on the people. So it's very important for everyone to listen, not just people in Watsonville, due to the fact that Santa Cruz, Soquel Water District, Salinas, San Jose, Monterey, you're all in the gun sights of these people that are trying to push this stuff into the water. Now, the important thing with that our guests will get into is that a lot has changed over the years. More and more information has come out, and it's really exposing this ridiculous notion of injecting this toxic waste into the water supply to allegedly treat people. So with that, I want to introduce my esteemed guest. I'm hoping that Dr. David Kennedy and Jeff Green are there.
We're here.